staff worker. This is my fifth year in Creative Focus. Such a joy to be able to serve the international student. I myself come from a Cantonese background, and also moving like from one culture to another culture, it is like quite familiar for me as well. So the first three things that I would do when moving to a new a foreign place, they are first to find a place to live, of course, and then second to find a church so that I get a group of friends that I can worship God together. And then number three is to find a job so that I get some money to pay the bills. Moving to a new place sometimes can be fun and exciting, but it can also be stressful and sad. But that is all depending on the reason of moving, where you move from and where you move to. As Naomi moving home this time, this is not a great fun of this moving. We learned from last week that Naomi is an aged Israelite woman, and her husband, Elimelech, and the two sons died. And now, what was left now is nothing but Ruth, the Moabite daughter-in-law. Naomi made the right choice, however, to return home to her hometown, Bethlehem, to seek God's aid in her misery. While she feels a bit lost, and she heard about God is aiding, providing for his people, she went back. So she and Ruth made their way back to Bethlehem. And the journey from Moab to Bethlehem takes about 7 to 10 days walking distance. So I can imagine with the age of Naomi, it could be quite a tough journey walking back 7 to 10 days. She's both physically and emotionally exhausted. And as we observe in chapter 1 last week, verse 20 to 21, you can refer back to your zine. Naomi became very bitter. Her hopes and dreams to prosper is now shattered, and she became very, very depressed. She's not interested in anything at all. As she entered the town of Bethlehem, she even she kind of didn't notice of what is going on. Two gleams of hope that she can be happy about is one. It is the harvesting time. She didn't notice of that. Second is the existence of Boaz, someone that may possibly be able to help her and Ruth. Which one do I click? Yes. Naomi now is like sadness in the Inside Out movie. Who's seen this movie? Yes, I love it. And that she just wants to lie down and cry all day. We understand it so much. When we're sad, we just don't want to care about anything or do anything. But on the contrary, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, is almost like joy. But I'm not saying that Ruth is very, very happy at this moment. But what I'm trying to say is she has the joy and the optimistic character of this girl called Joy. And she would step up and try to make things work in such a difficult time. On her arrival in Bethlehem, she volunteered herself to go to the field and hope for the best to happen to her. If you refer to chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grains behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Starting a new life in a new place where she knows nothing about and knows no one, this life is very, very hard. I think for international students, you know this very well. Ruth's courage to venture out, just to explore things in this new place, to go to the fields owned by Israelites, this courage actually admires me so much. What actually motivates her was probably her love and kindness for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Venturing out to find food for herself and Naomi right now is the first and foremost priority. So after getting Naomi's permission, off she goes to the fields to work. And then in verse 3, it says, so Ruth, she went out and entered the field and began to glean behind the harvester. The word glean means picking up the leftover grains after a harvest. In fact, God has commanded his people in Israel that they must provide for the poor and the foreigners by letting them to glean in the field. As it says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 10, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the end, to the very edge of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that has fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners. I am the Lord your God. The God of Israel is a generous God who provides not only for his people, but to provide abundantly to the poor and the needy and the foreigners who comes to seek help from his people. In the gospel, such a generosity was lived out again and again by Jesus. In the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, Jesus received both the crowds with great compassion. In Mark 6, it says that when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. But come back to this story. What about Ruth? As she comes to glean in the fields of the Israelite, who will take notice of her? And who can actually provide for what she needs? Let's look at verse 3 again. It says, so she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvester. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Take note of this. That is a similar description of Boaz already. Like that similar description already appeared once not long ago in verse 1. Based on these two comments, we actually know that Boaz is a wealthy man, and he is a relative in Elimelech's family. He is actually now in a very, very good position to help out Naomi and Ruth. However, it is really up to Boaz to decide whether he would actually do it. It makes so much sense for him to say no, because Ruth is a foreigner from Moab. And at the same time, this is actually a tribe that's forbidden by God. However, it is also possible for Boaz to extend his kindness to Naomi and Ruth by providing them protection and material aid. So, the next line of the story tells us that it may be a lucky day for Ruth on her first day of venturing out. This random field that she decided to glean is actually belonged to Boaz, and Boaz happened to be there also visiting the workers. Aha! What are the chances? Did all this just happen by luck? Or were all these little coincidences part of God's plan? The book of Ruth actually gave not very clear indication of whether this all these little things were of God. But the beautiful truth is that all of these were part of God's wonderful plans. His hand is at work at all times, since the creation until now. Nothing is random, and all happens for a purpose. And this purpose is to reveal the character of God and his plan to save people from the broken world. God purposed Ruth to turn back to him, and then Ruth seek to settle and rest in his land. When she comes and seek for a refuge, God extended his overflowing kindness to her by drawing Boaz's attention to on Ruth during this visit. Boaz was impressed with Ruth's humbleness, her polite characteristic, and also her hardworking quality. Just by hearing the overseer's comment about her, Boaz started to take notice of Ruth. And then he also find out that she is the Moabite daughter-in-law of Naomi. So as a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, he knows that he has the responsibility to take care of Ruth and Naomi. So who in here has sat in a job interview before? Me as well. What are the top tips for a job interview? Does anyone want to kind of share your thoughts and wisdom?
Ask them questions.
Ask them questions, yeah. Maybe a couple more.
Brush your teeth.
That's a good one.
Know something about the company.
Yes, that's sensible. Back in my days when I was like a fresh grad from uni, people told me that you like as a young woman you should wear like sky blue shirt and a black skirt. I don't know why, but so anyway, I didn't end up wearing that for my interview. That's always ridiculous. If we bring this question to Ruth, what would you think Ruth would say? Like, what kind of tips would she give us? May she say, "Oh, to be honest, to work very hard, to submit to the boss, maybe don't ask for more than what you deserve." Or she's like, "I don't actually know, because what I only want to do is to make sure that I get enough food for my mother-in-law and myself." There's no short-term goal, no long-term prospects. Her only hope now is that she may get enough for each day for her and Naomi to survive. When Boaz took notice of her, he immediately reached out to her by offering her a job in his field. This offer is actually bigger than and better than what Ruth initially expected. From verse 8, it reads, "So Boaz said to Ruth," can Matt read this while I'm drinking some water? Can you read that? Verse 8, thanks.
"My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled."
This is a very kind offer from Boaz, right? And this is just what Naomi and Ruth need right now. What is even better is Boaz is mindful of the dangerous surrounding in town, so that whatever he's thought about is actually to provide protection, a safe working environment for Ruth to work in. Again, this is not like a random decision by Boaz, but it is a well thought through and God honoring decision. Boaz has extended his kindness to Ruth because he wants to honor God by living out what the law requires him to do. In Deuteronomy, which is what the law reminds the Israelites to about how God commanded them to do, is it says, He defeats the cause of the fatherless and the widows, and loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing, and you are to love those who are foreigners, for yourself are foreigners in Egypt. Somehow the kindness expressed by Boaz seems like a little overbearing for Ruth. When Ruth first heard about this, she bowed down with her face on the ground. In verse 10, she asks him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" In saying that, Ruth knows that she really do not deserve for such generosity of an Israelite. From day one, she decided to follow Naomi. When she decided to follow Naomi to Bethlehem, she knows that she may face trouble and discrimination in the land of Israelite. All she was hoping for is that she may find favor in someone's eyes so that she may grab some food, grab some leftovers from the field. But God drew in Boaz's attention, not based on her outward appearance, but by noticing her humble, self-sacrificing character of Ruth, her willingness to give up her old self, her background, her people, her country, to live a humble life in the land of God, has actually touched Boaz's heart. The bold request from Boaz for God in verse 12 was an evidence of how deeply he was moved by Ruth, and how much he trusts God for his righteousness and kindness in seeking to reward those who come to seek refuge in him. Boaz's kind words and kind action truly honors God. He extends his kindness, actually challenged while preparing this talk, it actually challenges me to wonder whether my walk with Jesus is going all right. As I learn from the Bible daily, have I actually put his word into practice? When God calls us to love our neighbors, have I loved them enough? When others come to seek the truth and comfort in Jesus, have I done enough to honor Jesus, who has extended his kindness by dying on the cross for me so that I may live? May God help us as we continue to reflect on his good promises, and may his word transform our heart and mind so that we may know how to live out his word daily. Up until now, Ruth still has no idea about Boaz, who Boaz is. And he can actually offer some, he is in a position that he can offer something better. She has no idea. Even though she may have already felt pretty content of what she received. When she finished all the possible gleaning of the day, she carried about 13 kilograms of grain back home to see Naomi. That is a lot. Of course, Naomi was in shock when she welcomes Ruth back and see these 13 kilograms of grain. And then it was a surprise out of her expectation. And then she asked her in verse 19, "Where did you glean all day? Where did you work? And blessed be the man who will take notice of you." And Ruth told Naomi where she worked. It is actually in the field, belongs to Boaz. As this good news reaches to Naomi's ear, she actually stopped grieving for her misfortune. Instead, she rejoices in the Lord, and she said in verse 20, she said, "The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemer." In other words, Naomi knows that this is a God thing. It is her God who brought her back home, and without her knowing, he already prepared Boaz, a guardian redeemer who can save her and Ruth from their misery. Finally, this is the glimpse of hope that their shattered dream may be rebuilt. In hearing the kindness of Boaz has shown to Ruth, Naomi actually trusts that Ruth has already found favor in Boaz's eyes. He will help by redeeming them from their broken life. So what happened next? How will this guardian redeemer save Ruth and Naomi from their misery? And how would their broken dream be rebuilt again? I'll leave it for Andy to tell you next week. But for now, it's not finished yet. Just give me a little bit more time. For now, I would like to share two points that you may take home out of this talk tonight. First, it is very important for us to know that and be certain about the hidden hand of God is always at work in our lives. Fate, luck, random chance, coincidence just seem to be an ongoing theme in chapter 2. Even in our daily conversation, we use heaps of these like, terms to describe and explain different things that happen in around us. Whether they're good or bad, whether they're big or small, people would just choose to claim them as fate, or it's just luck, or it's like, oh, it's just random, and oh man, it's just coincidence. and then as we claim, name all these things with this word, we park them aside, and as if they have nothing to do with us, and nothing to do with our understanding of the universe, and has nothing to do with the God who creates this universe. This passage we read today actually challenges us to rethink. It challenges us to think five plus one W question. So listen well. The first one is like, the first five is very familiar for you. First one is, what happened? Second, who was involved? Third, where did it happen? Fourth, when did it happen? And fifth, why did it happen? And the last one I just add on that. The last W is, what did I learn about God in what just happened? I'll just say it again. What did I learn about God in what just happened? Don't be just satisfied by calling everything random, but actually stop and ask God to help you to understand Him better through different things in life. And when we finally come to realize that the hand of God is at work in our life at all times, the everlasting hope in Jesus will rest on us and we will rejoice like Naomi. The second point is that the kindness of God overflows to those who seek refuge in Him. In the story, we see how Naomi, in her brokenness, seek refuge from God, and she travels back from Bethlehem with Ruth. While Ruth, the younger widow, she's lost in her identity. She seeks for material possession and protection from someone. And this someone is the people of God. The gracious God, in return, as He rewards them with extended kindness, He promised that for those who seek Him, they will find Him. And He calls out to those who need Him to come so that they may find rest. Turn back to Jesus today if you haven't yet accepted Jesus as Lord. Just as Boaz in the story, no one in this world except Jesus would be able to save us. Jesus is the God who can redeem us. He wants us to come home. So Focus Camp, Home at Last, is a fantastic topic. Come back home. If we come to Jesus, we will certainly show He will certainly show His overflowing kindness to us. Let's pray. Okay? Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to see Your amazing hand working in Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz's life. Thank You for helping us to reflect on You are actually the gracious God that has extended kindness to reach out to those that who seek you, who finds refuge in you. Lord, we ask that you will help us and help us to live like the people of your kingdom. Help us to continue to seek you and help us to continue to reflect of who you are and how we should live as your kingdom people. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Helen. Indeed, God is at work in our life, whether we know it or not. Quick discussions, questions. Two of them.